It's a wine show. So if you have some wine with us today.
Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
There's a moment in my mind I scribbled and erased a thousand times.
Here's a little wine.
Like a letter never written or sent. These conversations with the dead, I used to be a sentimental guy. Now I'm haunted by the left.
Hey, everybody.
Ugh. Sorry. I have some wine with me today, which I was going to drink in the traditional fashion. I have some wine glasses I dusted off. But instead, I filled the wine glass with beer and I'm doing wine shots. I don't think this is the proper way to drink wine. But, you know, we got to get silly. We got to have fun, right? This is the only way it's going to work. I ended up with some wine. Okay, let's do another one here before things get too serious. I recommend just get some wine, some nice red wine, and a shot glass and a beer chaser, and, you know, let's try and do this wine together. Cheers. Fuck me. I keep thinking maybe I'll get used to wine. You know, there's something about it where I just feel like if an apocalypse happened and it was the last booze on Earth, somehow I would grow to love it. You know, but that maybe that's just because, I mean, I think I would understand. You know, I understand why in prison, for example, they make toilet wine or whatever. I mean, I guess a lot of people would probably say, just don't get drunk. But I would say you're in fucking prison. There's never been a better place to be drunk a lot. I mean, what are you going to do, drive somewhere? Allison was here, and we made some pasta. And she was like, I would like to drink some wine, but, you know, it's not fun to drink wine by yourself. And I said, no, it's cool, man. We'll go get some. I'll try it. I'll try. Get the wine. I, you know, find these wine glasses way in the back of my cabinet that have not been used since the last time I drank wine on this very show, which I'm sure you all remember. She took one drink and said, you're not gonna like it. You're gonna hate it. I said, give me a chance, you know. So she poured me. She's like, maybe I'll just pour you a little one, which I said, probably a good idea. I smelled it, you know, and was like, yeah, probably better make it a little one. She probably poured me about 3 ounces. I had maybe half of it. You know, I tasted it and I was like, this is poison. I mean, this is literally, I can taste the rotting of fruits in this thing. So she drank, the rest of my glass and had some of her own. I rinsed out my wine glass and filled it with beer. It actually gave me this idea for an invention, right? It's like a non-carbonated beer type beverage. And it's cold. And what it is for like fancy functions, or you're at a nice dinner, right? A fancy dinner place. Because if you're at a dinner place, you know, the wine glass looks right on the table, right? The wine glass is the fancy thing that you think, all right, a mature man would drink this. And then they bring you your beer, and it's like the crazy straw is implied or something. Like, there's something wrong with that. You know, they'll do this move. They bring out a bottle. It's a frosty bottle, and they put a little napkin around it, which I don't, that almost makes it seem like, am I on a reality TV show and you want to cover the label, or am I about to find out that this pasta you just served me is actually Pizza Hut pasta? Because if that's true, I will be very surprised and very angry. And, you know, I will dedicate my life to destroying Pizza Hut. So with this beer, with this invention, it's one that looks like a white wine and one that looks like a red wine. It tastes just like beer, but from a distance, it appears to be wine. So you can sit there, you can toast the wine glass. That's nice for toasting. You can, you know, look like you're enjoying a time with somebody that you're connecting on a beverage level. But at the same time, you're actually drinking something you enjoy instead of wine. Because at most fancy restaurants, I've never asked. I've never been like, open up a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon and bring me a shot glass. But that's how we do it here in the studio. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Poison. Went to, had a Wendy's meal last night, which I haven't done in a while, I gotta say. It's been a little while. You know, it's funny, because I went through the line, and it's Wendy's, and it's Sunday night, you know. So the lady takes my order, and I get there, and she did the thing where she kind of looked in the car and then smiled a little bit like, oh, okay, this appears to be a normal person, even though he's at Wendy's at 10 p.m. on a Sunday and should be a society outcast, because who else? I mean, Jesus Christ, you should be in bed with a belly full of pot roast or something like that, not ordering a... The amount of food I order is suspicious because it's not quite enough for two, but it's way too much for one. You know, I got my standard two double stacks, one junior bacon cheeseburger, medium fry, and a frosty for later. Skip the nuggets this time, because, you know, I'm out of Wendy's practice. I haven't been eating as much Wendy's. So I get to the window, and the lady gives me the, like, you're surprisingly normal. There's probably something wrong with you deep inside, but whatever. And, you know, she says, how's your night going? And I say, fine, you know, whatever. How's your night? And she's like, well... I'm here, you know what I mean, at Wendy's, which I'm like, yeah, that's fair. But then I go to the next window, and, you know, there's a guy there, and he's like, hey, how's your Sunday going? And again, I say, oh, I mean, good. You know, mine is slowly improving, because as I move from the first to the second window, I'm that much closer to possessing Wendy's, so things are looking up for me. You know, he says, how's your night? I say, pretty good. How's your night? And he says, ugh, well, I can't complain, and it doesn't do me any good when I do complain. You know, so I mean, these Wendy's people are having a shitty night, which is reasonable because they work at Wendy's. I'll allow that. I'll allow a shitty Wendy's night. But the thing I don't like, I mean, if you're having a shitty day, I don't think you should be starting a lot of conversations with, how's your day going? Because probably most people will say, how's your day going in response. I mean, is that what they wanted for me to say? How's your Wendy's night going? And I understand the transaction here. I'm receiving Wendy's that I voluntarily drove through and paid for, so I'm probably having a better time than they are working at Wendy's at 10 p.m. The only thing worse than eating at Wendy's at 10 p.m. is working at Wendy's at 10 p.m. That's the only thing that's worse. There's nothing else in the world that's worse. Except they did build a Taco Bell right across the way, which part of me feels like maybe Wendy's built that Taco Bell there. So when people were at Wendy's looking out the window, and maybe they're dreaming of a better life, they see that Taco Bell, and they're like, well, I could work there. So maybe I do already. Maybe my life is pretty good. Maybe things aren't so bad, you know what I mean? I could be at Taco Bell. So, like, you know, maybe I really shouldn't complain. Maybe I should just live the Wendy's, you know? Live the Dave Thomas coda, or whatever you want to call it. Also went to the pumpkin patch this weekend, you know, one of my favorite. We're getting ready for the Helpful Snowman Halloween Podtacular. What did we call that thing? Potoween. Will be coming up soon. Hopefully that'll come out on Halloween Day so we can all enjoy that. You know, I got some spooky sounds, music. Music is sounds, right? Just put together. Went to the pumpkin patch. Can I tell you something about the pumpkin patch? I don't think that the pumpkin patch is fun for kids between the age of like 4 and 10. For a couple reasons. One, they all seem to be crying. You know, I guess there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen. I mean, here's what the thing. I think parents like to get out with their kids. You see them at the grocery store with the kid. There's always the parent there who's like, the kid's just screaming and they're pushing the cart through the store. I think when you have a kid that's like, cries a lot, you have to just sort of accept, like, I'm probably not going to get to spend as long doing things as I'd like to. I mean, when I go to the pumpkin patch, I'm not going to be able to be there for 45 minutes. We need to be like a tactical team. We get in, we get a pumpkin, we get out, no one even knows we're there. We're fucking technicians, surgeons. You know, so there's kids crying because they're just out in a fucking wagon in a field wondering, what the fuck am I doing out here? But the other thing the parents are always doing, like, they say, all right, we're going to go out to the pumpkin patch so you can pick a pumpkin. You know, that's the whole point of the pumpkin patch. Otherwise, you would just go to a roadside stand that just was a shed with a window in it and say, one pumpkin, please. And they would just hand you a pumpkin and you would get what you get. So, you know, you go there to pick. But I heard the same chorus like 50 times, a parent saying to a kid, no, not that one. You don't want that one. Or, oh, that one's, you know, look, that one's gross. Or that one's whatever. I mean, that one's stupid looking. Just fucking let the kid pick a pumpkin. Like, who cares? Maybe try a little pumpkin education with them. Like, here's what they're supposed to look like. And yeah, you don't have to get one that's a rotted pile of mush. But fuck it, man. I mean, if the kid picks one out and it's like not to your liking, fuck it. It's their pumpkin. Who cares? What are they going to do? Then you're going to take home and they're going to start carving it and you'll be like, that doesn't look like a fucking face. You're the worst kid. I wish I had a different kid besides you that I could compare you to and see what other kid does. That's the right way to do it. I'll pour myself another wine here. Are you guys having a glass of wine with me? You should. This is a Crane Lake, California Cabernet Sauvignon 2011. I mean, I don't really know anything about wine. I like the wine bottles. I'll tell you that right now. Ugh. Fuck. This is worse than just liquor. So I had a point to today's show beyond just complaining about my weekend. Got a little something in the mail today. Not today, a couple days ago. I don't want to lie to you guys. I got this thing in the mail. I don't know, it seems like 5 years ago. Some kid came up to me. This has probably happened to all of you, right? A kid comes up to you and they have one of those sheets, an order form, you know, and you can tell once you've been fooled into this a couple times, you can spot an order form from 100 miles away. You know, one of my points of pride for myself is I'm like, I know an order form when I see it, motherfucker. I see an order form, I run the other way. See this kid come up with an order form, though. I wasn't as trained then. She's like, do you want to order a magazine? So that I can go to a camp and learn about to sit on a horse and sit with fires and get out of my suburban environment. So I say, sure. I mean, that seems like a good thing to do. In hindsight, probably not. I mean, I don't know what's the deal with that. They're like, oh, kids from the city should go out and do camp stuff. But they never take kids from, you know, Minnesota and say, we're going to go to a camp where we stay in a hotel in, you know, Manhattan, and you're going to learn how to do city stuff. That doesn't make any sense to me. I would think that those skills would probably translate better to their modern life, but whatever. So because of this mistake, you know, I'm now getting a Esquire magazine and have been for what seems like 10 years. Probably somewhere there's a bill building up for this. I just feel like there's a bill. You know, because the only reason I think magazines survive is they just say, we'll just keep charging and sending it, and you have to opt out or something. I don't know. But I wanted to talk about this magazine so badly that, you know, I threw it in the trash. You can kind of hear it. Covered it in coffee grounds. And then I said, no, this needs to be discussed. So I'm taking it out of the trash to bring it to you. So this is Esquire, and we're going to talk about it today. That was like real This American Life or something like that, you know? How they go like, this is Esquire, and we're going to talk about it today. When I first saw Esquire magazine, I wondered to myself, what's in those pages? Probably like a lot of you have. But what most of us don't know... Okay, that's enough of that. I guess the three people who listen to This American Life and this would maybe enjoy that. So, I wanted to go through this magazine because it's frustrated me. You know, now that I've seen it and flipped through it, I wanted to talk about it. So let's just start at the beginning here. Okay. Already we've got an ad for a watch with James Bond. You know, Daniel Craig just standing there looking pissed. I'm sick of James Bond. Am I the only one who's sick of James Bond? I mean, James Bond and Esquire seem like kind of a similar aesthetic to me. One that I don't really care for. But James Bond, I mean, first of all, these movies have the... What was that? Quantum of Solace? What does that even mean? I don't know what quantum means. I have some idea what solace is. But you can't just combine two fucking things together and, you know... I mean, what if I said quantum of dildo? I know what dildo is, but when you say quantum of, I have no fucking idea what that is. Or, you know, quantum of lust. I mean, that makes no fucking sense. And that's not like a good, memorable title. What's a good, memorable title? Chinatown. You know, it's a line from the movie. Or RoboCop. He's a robot and a cop. Part machine, part man, all cop. It makes fucking sense. Quantum of Solace. If they say that in that movie, it's even worse than I thought. I mean, at least the old ones had cooler sounding. Moonraker. Goldfinger. You know, vaguely pornographic. Or... completely pornographic. Octopussy. I cannot fucking believe they got away with that. Can you believe that shit? I mean, when I was a kid, that one would come on. Or I did this thing when I was a kid. I did a calendar. And each month was devoted to a different James Bond-related thing. Because we had to do this assignment. And you had to have X number of days on your calendar and all this stuff. So I put a bunch of shit on there and figured, well, there's so many James Bond movies. There's like... almost enough for one a month, plus, you know, the stars have their birthdays and all this shit. And Octopussy, I was like, oof, can I even put things on here? Can I say, like, this is the day Octopussy came out? Can I spell pussy out? I don't know how this works. Okay, I'm still going through the fucking contents. Oh, Rolex ad, okay. Cologne, there's a lot of cologne. Are guys wearing cologne? I mean, I feel like if you smell terrible, you should maybe wear a little cologne. But other than that, let's fucking pass on the cologne, huh? Ads. Ah, here we go. This is like the, you know, the note from the editor-in-chief or whatever. You know, so every issue starts with this guy, this bald fuck, putting on a coat, telling you how it is. You know what I mean? This is kind of the thing about this magazine that I don't like. This magazine is like, we are going to tell you how it is. But I think they're wrong a lot of the time. So let's see. And this one's titled Why We Vote. So already I think I'm not going to like it. Not since the Koch administration have I missed an opportunity to vote in my little town. I'm still miffed New York State mandated that old voting booths that had served the town since the 1950s had to be replaced by paper ballots, which must be filled out with Sharpies and then scanned into some database somewhere. Just further evidence that Charles P. Pierce of our politics blog is right when he rails against the urge on the part of the Tea Partiers to turn governmentin over to the states. Okay. Yeah, Charles P. Pierce is totally right about that. But I digress. I vote in my town every time I can, and every time I walk up the stairs into the firehouse or down the stairs into the municipal building, I feel just a glimmer of what it must be to become a naturalized American citizen. The realization that I belong... that I'm a part of something immutable. Nothing anchors humans like ritual. I'm not Jewish, but every bar mitzvah I attend makes me long for connection to centuries of tradition. The closest I get to that is when I vote. Okay, here's the problem. This is like a rich fucker who owns Esquire, right? Who runs Esquire. So I assume he's doing fine. I guess I really don't know. But it's not like he's taken his lunch break to vote, or it's not like he's taken time off. You know what I mean? He just goes... he could probably do whatever the fuck he wants and then be like, well, I'm writing a column about it. I mean, that's got to be a great thing about being a magazine writer, right? I would just probably take whatever I was doing and be like, well, that's for a column. That's work. You know what I mean? Because for the rest of us, that's like the worst part of voting. You go to a shitty building with other shitty people and wait in a shitty line. That's terrible. That's not fun. Don't go out and vote because of that. That's a crazy reason to want to vote, by the way. I'm not reading any more of this. Let's move on. More perfume. See, here's another thing. I'm not sure if this magazine is for men or women. I used to think it was for men, but I kind of think it's for women to flip through. and help them decide what kind of man they want. Because, like, most of the men in here are half naked and model-y. And most of the women are... Well, we'll get to the women, because I have a problem with this. Oh, here we go. Women we love, Taylor Swift. Yeah, we sure love Taylor Swift. They asked her some questions. Why don't I answer the questions Taylor Swift was asked? And we'll see how our answers compare. So first they ask, how does it feel to be named a woman we love? I mean, as Taylor Swift, I can't imagine I'd give a flying fuck. And also, I mean, your magazine seems to be about suits and watches. So if you love me, I feel like I'm doing life the wrong way. She said she was happy, and it's awesome. Well, good answer. I mean, those are equally thought out answers. We should celebrate by talking about your new album. Oh, she's got a new album out. Who gives a fuck? The title is Red. Let's see. Let's just keep going till we get to a question. Are you worried about peaking at 22? I mean, if you're Taylor Swift and you peak at 22, that's a pretty fucking high peak, right? This is my answer if I was Taylor Swift, I guess, is, you know, if someone said, are you worried that Taylor Swift is peaking at 22? I'd be like, well, I mean, I've, like most of us, I share concerns that Taylor Swift has reached the apex of her career, her appearance, her social life, everything about her has kind of hit the line. But on the other hand, I mean, she's made it pretty far. I think she'll be fine. If it's a slow descent, I think the key is just peaking at 22 and then having a slow descent, right? It's not about peaking late. It's about peaking and then just not immediately falling off the edge of the cliff. She just needs to ride the wave. She says, I'm always worried about everything, like spiders. Right now, I'm worried about that. Okay, well, I mean, spider, sure, can be disconcerting, just hanging out on the wall, you know, looking evil and shit. But I don't, not really something I'd be thinking about while I'm doing a fucking Esquire interview. Like, hey, you asked me a question that's about my career. Let me tell you how I feel about spiders. I mean, if this is Taylor, I guess I should be worried that this is her peak. Because if this is her peak, this is a bad sign. This is a bad sign. Do you worry what you'll do when you run out of breakups to write about? That's a fair question. I mean, not really. If I'm Taylor Swift, I don't worry that she'll run out of breakups to write about. She has plenty. She's 22. You know, I feel like her most epic breakups are to come. She says she has happy songs on this album. Okay. My ultimate goal is to end up being happy most of the time. Let's see. Do you read Esquire? Taylor Swift, do you read Esquire? She doesn't read fucking Esquire. I mean, nobody reads this magazine. That's the point, right? She says, yeah, you guys are really cool and slick. Sharp, even. Oh, good one. Let's see. Do you like peaty, smoky scotch? We're doing something on that this month on page 46. Oh, good. Well, if she says yes, she's a complete liar. Because she doesn't. She's 22. No one likes that when they're 22. If you like smoky, peaty scotch when you're 20, if you even know what that means when you're 22, you're a horrible human. Oh, I don't drink much alcohol. If it doesn't taste like candy or sparkles, I usually don't drink it. If it doesn't taste like sparkles. Here's the thing. Okay, Taylor Swift. I mean, it's a woman they love. But is this just a woman that they would fuck? I mean, is there no difference to Esquire? Is that the problem here? Because if I had someone say, I like booze that tastes like sparkles, I don't. How do you love that person? I mean, if that's a real thing, what love capacity can you have for this person? It's like being in love with a fucking Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Let's see. What else do we have? Do you think this interview will get more stylish men to come to your shows? I mean, no, I don't think. So far, she's met expectations. You know, if I was giving her her year-end evaluation as her boss of being interviewed, I'd say, meets expectations, does not exceed, doesn't fail, meets expectations. I mean, she said she likes sparkly drinks and claims to like Esquire as long as there's no follow-up questions, and, you know, maybe she'll be happy someday. She says, I would love that. I love the suspenders and plaid pants and whatever. Hair that's combed. Okay, fuck you. Jesus Christ. See, okay, stylish men. Good for you. Do you ever get tired of being sweet? I get tired of her being sweet. Fuck this shit. I'm drinking a wine and moving on. See, they do this thing. Women we love. But we don't love Taylor Swift. This is why I think this magazine might be for women, too. I think that the women they love are women that women think men should love. You know, on the next page, we've got other women we love. They talk about some women that they love. Maria Menounos, I don't know who that is. Katie Holmes, I think we all think she's crazy and she's got sort of a weird retarded face. Crystal Ball, no idea. Allison Williams, no idea. Kristen Stewart, no, we don't like her. Kathleen Robertson, don't even know her. Charlize Theron, everybody likes her. Easy. Bella Heathcote, no idea. Fan Bing Bing, no idea. Gabre Sidibe, precious. Again, I mean, this is like the reverse of Taylor Swift. Maybe Gabre Sidibe, you know, likes drinking peaty whatever scotch and, you know, is a great person, but not attractive. It's going to be tough to love. You know, she's precious. I mean, she is the person who embodied what we used as the word as a joke to mean super fat. Okay? I'm not saying you can't love somebody super fat, but I am saying it's a challenge, and if I'm making a list of 20 women that I love, she's probably not going to make it. Anne Hathaway. Fine. Jessica Chastain. No idea. Zoe Saldana. Sure. Jessica Paré, no idea, so, blah, blah, blah. Sissy Spacek, she's like a stick figure. She's not lovable. You know, who? I mean, Olivia Munn, she's a horrible... I hate her. Okay, so this is the thing. I feel like this is like a list if... you know what it's like? I had this girlfriend in high school, right? And she was like, what is your favorite thing about me? But she didn't mean, you know, I was like, oh, you know, your personality or you're funny. But she was like, no, your favorite thing about my body, which I was like, oh, God. Because, I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to say, when I'm in high school, I don't think I'm supposed to say, oh, your butt or, oh, your boobs or just your general nudity is a... I mean, do I have to pick one part of you? If I say boobs, do I have to pick one over the other? I do have a preference. I've studied this enough to have a preference, you know. Despite the fact that I haven't seen them that many times, I can make this work if I have to. But no, you know, so of course I say like, oh, you have a really sexy back. Because I was like, that's safe. It's different. I don't have to say it's your butt. I mean, I don't know. And I don't think I'd say that answer now, because that's kind of a stupid answer, right? But this is like what the women they love answer. It's like these safe answers or like, oh, I respect this person. And it's like, okay, well, just say, you know, you can't just say the answer that my high school girlfriend wants to hear. That's not acceptable. Now we've got an interview with Philip Seymour Hoffman. So... I mean, I guess we could do this one, too. I don't know. This doesn't seem like these questions are going to be... Let me see if there's any questions that I could answer here. You're going to be in the next Hunger Games. Well, that's terrible for him. Are you in the phone book? I don't think I am. I mean, half of this interview is like, are you in the phone book? Good. Great. Do you ever try to do something that you know isn't going to make the same emotional demands as what I normally do? Oh, yeah, all the time. Okay, fuck this shit. Oh, good. Polo, black, the men's fragrant. The men's fragrance. Good thing. Okay, see, here's another thing. Songs every man should listen to. This month, radical new takes on the blues, protest song, and yodeling. I mean, I just don't understand... Like, this is what they try to do, okay? There's a Ben Gibbard song. So that's like, and it's got yodeling in it. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm already upset. A song by The Coup. So that's like a rap song. I mean, but that's like, The Coup is like that go-to group because they were like, oh, they're Dave Chappelle's, you know, warm-up music. So then it was cool. But I don't know. Fuck that shit. Jamie Johnson, who I find to be, you know, the... He's like the middle road between pop country and country country. He's got that country voice that, well, I went. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. Oh, and Alison Krauss with him. She has to be with every fucking person. And a couple other people. I mean, this is another thing. This is what they do. They're like, here's what men should like. If you're a man, here's what you should enjoy. But most of the time, I think they're kind of full of shit. I mean, it's just like, well, what man likes that? Or, okay, next page. Book reviews. They're reviewing the new Tom Wolfe book. I mean, this motherfucker wrote The Bonfire of the Vanities. And what was that? Electric Kool-Aid acid test or whatever. I mean, The Right Stuff. This is not a guy that I really need. If I'm at all interested in him, I'll find out. This is another thing that Esquire loves to do. If you're an expert in an area, they're going to just fucking tell you what you already know. I don't need to know about the new Tom Wolfe book. In this interview, or this review of the book, is like 2 fucking pages long. You don't need to tell me about the entire book. You can just tell me if I want to read it or not. You know, and I'll just say, no, I don't. Ah, here's one of my favorite features. This is a thing they do called Funny Joke from a Beautiful Woman. Now, again, their definition of beautiful woman is like, their beautiful women all look like they're 14. They're skinny. They have no womanly features. There's never like a woman who's got like a nice womanly body. They're just not fat, I guess. I guess that's what it takes to be a beautiful woman in Esquire, is like you're not fat and maybe you have long hair. I don't know. And you sit on an old fucking chair. Do you guys want to hear the funny joke? A man walks into a library, appropriate, and asks the librarian for a book on suicide. The librarian replies, fuck off, you won't bring it back. Good one. And then it's got a thing about the jokester that's 5 times as long as the joke. I don't know what the point of this is. Like, they're trying to prove that, like, women are who are hot are also funny. But do people like those kind of jokes? I have to ask, like... Every comedian will say this. They always say, oh, every time I meet someone, they're like, tell me a joke. And they're like, I don't really tell jokes. You know what I mean? I just don't think, I mean, that doesn't really prove anything, does it? You memorize the shitty joke. And none of those jokes are funny. I mean, stop telling those jokes. You can have one. You can have one because you're going to go to a barbecue and some fucking guy's nephew and niece are going to be there and they're going to want to hear a joke. So, you know, you tell them the joke about 7, 8, 9 and then move on. You don't need to have, like, a stable of jokes. And those kind of jokes, you don't need to have adult versions of those jokes because they're not funny. The only time those are funny is if it's, like, super racist or insensitive about retarded people. Then I'm in. Tell me about it because I'm not expecting it. Oh, good. Now we have a health column by A.J. Jacobs, the worst man in the world. A.J. Jacobs, here's what he does. He's written like 5 books where he's like, one man takes on a quest to do something weird. You know, his first one was like, he read the Encyclopedia Britannica. Interesting-ish. But believe it or not, a book about reading a really long book is not very good. I know. Can you believe it? I could hardly believe it, but it's true. Reading about someone reading is more boring than reading. Unbelievable. You know, then he does one where it's the year of living biblically, and he follows all the rules of the Bible. But it was bullshit because, you know, he's trying to prove that it's weird and everything. But he writes for Esquire. So, I mean, he can just say, it's like I was saying, you know, you can just take whatever wacky thing you're doing and be like, it's part of my job. I can't go to my job and be like, I can't be near any woman who's on her period. But he can do that because he can just not go to fucking work. He can just type away on his stupid computer and do all that shit. You know, and then he did one where he was a human guinea pig. Basically what he does is he takes on these stupid quests for like 6 weeks, comes to no conclusions of any value, and then moves right along with his life. I hate him. Oh, okay, you could buy these speakers for your room. Here's another watch. I mean, there have already been over a dozen watches in here. you know, oh, here's their advice column. I hate this column, too, because it has these comics in it that are grotesquely drawn. It's like, it'll show someone's nude breasts or butt or vagina, and it looks awful. I've never seen a less sexy-looking nude drawing. It's weird to me that you would draw a drawing and make it look like... I mean, all the people in it have this weird shading, so they look like people from a commercial for cold medicine. You know what I mean? They've got, like, red noses and weird faces, and it's just... it's not appealing, you know? I don't understand where they got this guy. I mean, he draws a nice fireplace on this one, but the woman bending over the fireplace looks like, you know, I don't know, looks like someone's horrible aunt that you would never, you would think about naked to slow yourself down during sex, not when you're reading it. I mean, reading the column is fucking, ugh. Okay, here's a section on the shower head you should buy. I mean, that's pretty manly, you know, and here's the problem with these things, okay? This is a big problem with Esquire, too. The first suggestion is $525 for a fucking shower head, okay? Then you've got $73, reasonable, $108, $213, again, and then $99. I mean, basically, and oh, no, sorry, $191. So, I mean, if you want to spend $200 on a different shower head, go for it. You know, go for it. According to them, this is the best. Oh, my God. They even say, this shower head is the Rihanna of shower heads. Aggressive and rewarding. Fuck you. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Aggressive and rewarding. That's how I would describe Rihanna. Okay, so that's the Rihanna of shower heads. What's his face? Fucking Chris Brown punches it whenever he gets a little upset, and then we all forgive him. Great. Oh, my God. Here's a style section devoted entirely to watches. All right. Here's the thing. I'm going to have a wine before I do this here. Fuck me. God, do I hate wine. Oh, just like my whole face becomes tense. I wear a watch, okay? I like wearing a watch. It's nice because you can just see what time it is. I work at a job where I'm not always near a clock, so it's good to know. I don't like to carry my phone around because, you know, I think it warps the way your pants look, these big phones. So I think it looks stupid, and I don't need my phone. So, I mean, here's the thing. They have these watches, right? Let's just look through. Oh, 1,000. Let's see. Oh, wait. No. Hold on. Okay, $7,150 for a fucking watch. Now, I mean, and I wish that was atypical, but you know, we've got $3,100, $41,600. Oh, a reasonable $3,500. Here's a $99 watch, $18,000, $675, $4,000. 8,000, 3,900, 25,000. I mean, this is fucking ridiculous. Now, if you have the money, go for it. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money. Who the fuck is buying one of these watches, A? And B, I mean, who is like so together that they can say, you know what? I am 100%. My suit looks great. I'm personally well-groomed. I have an awesome haircut. I have the best, you know, fucking glasses, frames, the shoes, everything, but I don't know how to pick out a watch. So now I, you know, and now I've got the 7,000, because the other thing is, 90% of people would look like a fucking complete asshole with a $7,000 watch, right? Why would you even want that? You would look like such a fool because you'd say, ah, here's my t-shirt I wanted a fucking, you know, I got when I registered for a charity 5K. And here's my $7,000 watch. Don't these go nicely together? Don't I look great? I mean, Jesus Christ. And that still tells the time, right? Which you understand like the iPhone does, and you could have bought, I don't know, 10, 20 iPhones, which are also a computer. Okay. Oh, great. I mean, this is insane. Let's move on. Yeah, I don't know. They have an interview with a watch inventor? Are you fucking kidding? Oh, just a profile of one. Good. Great. Oh, okay. Here's a fashion director, and you can ask him questions. So let's see what the helpful snowman thinks of these questions. I want to ride my motorcycle to work. Any suggestions for acceptable riding gear that won't make me look like I starred in Wild Hogs? Well, I mean, just wear whatever you want when you're on the bike and change when you get to work. Don't be a fucking asshole. I mean, just, you know, this guy lives in New Jersey, so it's going to be fucking cold sometimes. I mean, I want to ride my bike to work, but I don't know what to wear. What the fuck is wrong with you? This is also a problem, I gotta say. Something I've been thinking about lately, and I have a real problem with it, because there was a time when if you were a guy with, like, tattoos and a beard, people were like, leave that guy the fuck alone. You know, those are his ways of, that's his, you know, skunk's colorings that say, stay away. I'm warning you of what I am, and I don't want anyone near me. But now, everyone's got a fucking beard and tattoos. So what do those of us who want to be left alone, what do we wear now? I don't understand. I mean, 15 years ago, if you saw a guy in a flannel shirt with a huge beard and he had a big ass tattoo up both of his arms, you would not even fucking talk to that guy. And now you're like, oh, he's my barista. I don't understand what are those of us who want to be left alone supposed to do? You know. So I don't know. If your number one problem riding your motorcycle to work is your attire, fuck off. Go fuck yourself. It seems that all the pants I've seen lately are flat front, but I prefer pleats. How long will the flat front phase continue? Just wear the fucking flat front and then go back to pleats when they come back. Just, I don't know, put them in the fucking closet. It's not a really big deal. Or just, you keep wearing them. Here's the other thing. Okay, the people who were wearing flannel the whole time, you know, from 1998 when flannel went out until now, those are the cool people. Those are the OGs. So you just keep wearing those pleats, buddy, and wait till they come back in. What is your take on men with earrings? Stupid. Don't wear earrings. Earrings are dumb. Earrings are a trick. My brother wears a sweater with the arms tied around his neck. I told him it wasn't a good look. His wife growled at me. Who's right, she or I? Well, here's the thing. It's his wife, right? So, I mean, there are a couple things that I think really prove that a man is committed to his wife. For example, if he, you know, abandons his musical, like his acoustic guitar, he's not trying to pick up chicks anymore. Or try this, ladies. If any ladies listen to this, ask your man to move with you to, like, a small town where there's nothing going on, right? There's no chance he's going to find any chicks there. Because then it's like, hey, why don't we move to this small town where nothing's going on and you're not going to meet anybody? That way, you know, we can just relax and have a family. And if he says yes to that, he's in. You know, and here's another thing. If the wife dresses the husband, I mean, he's kind of, that's it. You know what I mean? There's no going back. There's no point where a wife dresses a husband for 10 fucking years, and then the husband says, enough, I want to dress myself, I'm a man, goddammit. It doesn't work that way. So if she's dressing him, I mean, fuck it. Also, she's fucking him, and you're his brother. You know what I mean? So you did that thing where you tackled him and then let the spit dangle in front of his face and sucked it back in? So he can listen to one of the two of you. I mean, that's a terrible choice to make. In the past few years, I've noticed that some shirt makers are changing the bottom buttonhole on shirts from vertical orientation to horizontal. What gives? Better than what gives, I'd say that question is better asked as, who cares? I have a beautiful double-breasted blazer that with peak lapels that my wife bought for me 10 years ago. But I'm worried the lapels make it look out of date. What's the standard width for lapels? Just fucking, I mean, that's crazy. If you can't, here's the thing about fashion, okay? You need to figure out what looks good. Look at people who look good and then imitate that. And if you look at yourself and you're like, If you're thinking your lapels are too wide, they probably are. If you're even asking, someone else is going to ask too. Okay? Go fuck yourself. You don't have to ask these questions all the time. I mean, look at this ad. Oh, here's an ad for, like, men's hair paste. And it's got, you know, it's got four of the douchiest looking guys. You know what I mean? It's got, like, a boy band guy. It's got, like, an imitation biker. It's got, I mean, it looks like a boy band. No, who wants to look like that? That's fucked up. The five most exciting things in dining right now. I gotta say this. I got an Esquire cookbook, and I made some of the shit in it. It was fucking terrible. So here's another thing. So now they're like, here are some exciting restaurants. Let's guess which cities there are. New York, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, New York. Oh, one in Reno. San Francisco, Houston, somewhere in fucking Connecticut. You know, I mean, New York, Nashville, Arizona, Los Angeles, New Orleans. I mean, these are not like places that are devoid of great. Beverly Hills. I bet there's nowhere good to eat in Beverly Hills. You know, this is what I hate. They never is there a place I want to talk about. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. Oh, okay. Here's their big political article. You know how your article is shit and that your magazine is fucked up? When you do that thing where there's like 10 pages and then it says, okay, now flip to page like 150 to read the rest of this article. You know? You're like, well, I mean, if you couldn't devote the magazine space to it before the end, I don't think I have time for it, do I? You're kind of not, you're anti-endorsing it at this point for me. I don't think I need to get there. Ah, the cover article. Sexiest Woman Alive, 2012. Now, there are a lot of sexy women out there. A lot of good-looking broads. A lot of babes with the boobs and the butts. And the nice back that high school Pete could enjoy and compliment without fear of reprisal. So who is the sexiest woman alive in 2012? Well, according to Esquire magazine, it's Mila Kunis. Now, I just don't, I mean, okay, she's pretty. I'll give her that. She's ugly. I wouldn't, you know, I don't look at her and just say, I want to smash a wine bottle on your face to scar it up just to make it interesting. I'm not going to go that far. I guess I thought it, but I'm not going to do it. But sexiest woman alive? I mean, again, she's the Esquire thing. She looks like she's 12. She's got no body. And there are all these pictures of her, and she's just in, like, underwear and a bra, sort of leaning against the wall, making a stupid model face, you know, like, I'm kind of sad, but maybe sad in a way where I want to have sex. There's one fucking picture where she's goddamn smiling. You know what I mean? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't agree with you, Esquire. And the thing is, too, I know they don't want to just give it to the same person every year. What's her face? Not Charlize Theron, but the other one, who's kind of just like her. But just do it. If she's the sexiest woman alive, then fuck it. Who cares? I don't know. Okay, here's the thing about Obama versus Romney. I don't give a fuck. You guys, the last debate is tonight. Go fuck yourselves. Will you stop posting that shit on Facebook, finally? I mean, everyone's decided. I think we've all decided. And if you haven't fucking decided who you're voting for, you're a dumb, dumb fucker. Okay? And you know what? If you haven't decided yet, maybe take 10 minutes and figure it out for your fucking self instead of subjecting the rest of us to all this bullshit. You know, and they've got all these other... Okay. Oh, the suit section. Here's the best part. Esquire, they've, you know, always got suits in the back. You know what I mean? Okay, here we go. Two-button wool suit, $3,000. Shirt, $325. Tie, $195. Watch, $16,300. I mean, this guy's wearing $20,000 worth of fucking clothes. He's wearing more clothes that are worth more than my automobile. There's no point to having clothes that cost that much. I'm telling you, you're better off going to fucking Express for Men, getting a suit and trashing the shit out of it and buying 10 new ones. You could buy 10 of the same suit and not even worry about it. Because you know it's not cool It is not cool when you go out with someone and they're all worried about their suit getting fucked up the whole time, which is all that would be if you were wearing $20,000 worth of suit. Hey, this is a $4,000 tie, you asshole. I mean, what would be worse than being at a restaurant with somebody and the waiter accidentally spills some soup on their tie and they fucking flip? You know what I mean? No one wants to go down that road. No one needs that. I think this is all the Esquire magazine I can handle. I just want to point out, here's the thing. I think women's magazines get a lot of lip service for being shit and making women live up to bad things and being like, skinny is sexy. Men's magazines are no good either because they're just sort of, you know what men's skinny is? Money. If you have money as a man, you're basically the same as being skinny as a woman, right? I mean, that's the commodities that we're trading in today, I think, which is not fucking fair. I'm not saying that's fair, but I think that's what's happening. But I don't think people are giving men's magazines enough of a hard time because they are shit, man. I mean, anyone who has $20,000 can put together some pretty good fucking ensemble. Sorry, it's the wine talking. Anyone who has that much money could put together. If you can't put together some clothes with $20,000, what are you doing? You're fucking it up, man. You don't know what you're doing. With $20,000, you could spend five and hire someone who looks good. If you have $20,000, just walk down the street and buy a plane ticket to Los Angeles. Walk down the street for 20 minutes until you see someone who looks good. Ask them where they got their shit and go buy it. You're done. That's all you need to do. You don't need to read fucking Esquire magazine. Jesus Christ. Racking up a bank account somewhere that you don't even know about because, you know, that seems to be how this magazine works. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I bought this fucking magazine just because some kid needed to go to camp. I don't know, man. That's probably enough, right? If you're with me today, let's have one more wine, huh? Cheers to the downfall of Esquire, the print magazine. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Okay. Thanks for sticking with us for another week. Hang on. Thanks for listening again. We're getting towards 100 episodes. That's exciting, right? Pete's Unsent Love Letters. We had our 365th post this week. So we've had a year's worth of, you know, new stuff almost every day. Helpful Snowman, I mean, we're way above 1,000 at this point. We're doing great. The Empire is really, really bringing in the cash. I'm going to be buying these fucking watches. You know, it's going to be terrible. All this stuff is going so well. Eventually, I'm going to have to eat my own words when I'm wearing a $14,000 watch. And I'll have to say, yeah, but until you've had a $14,000 watch, you just don't know how good it feels. I remember when I was like you, a piece of shit. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Please give us a review on iTunes if you can. Reblog anything that you see that's even decent. You know, I don't know. Share it with your Facebook friends. And you know what? Go through your inbox and just friend all those people in your fucking inbox. I mean, what do you care? They can all just be your Facebook friends. I know they're people from high school that you don't really care about. Or maybe you have conflicting feelings about seeing their pictures because you don't want an old flame rekindled that you'd extinguished long ago. But just do it for my sake. I mean, just, you know what? You have permission to Facebook friend all your ex-girlfriends now, or boyfriends, because I'm saying, well, then you can spread the word about all this great stuff. And when your significant other finds it, you just say, Pete asked me to be friends with everyone to spread the word. So there you go. That's a gift. Ain't no other podcast giving you that gift. All right. You guys have a good weekend. Yeah, things are starting to get strange. I'm passing through Memphis in the rain. Oh.